This is Dr. Brastax. I have a WhatsApp here. We'll return to the phone lines pretty shortly. It says, good morning, Ms. Gale and the Brastax crew. We are more than an economy. I wish to say to your guests, as money or its lack thereof and the respective impacts, it does not destroy a strong social fabric. A weak social fabric goes to hell in a basket in a hurry. Social fabric, sir, is persons checking on and assisting single parents, ensuring the welfare of the elderly around them, and just practicing community spirit, money or not. It does not take coins to grow sweet potatoes. And that is from an original sin Farlipian. Yes, that's just one comment from one WhatsApper. And then another one says, good morning, we have it in our water here as well. And that's in London. And I assume he is speaking specifically to the comment about fluoride. But let's go to the phone lines. This is Dr. Brastax. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Hi, good morning, sir.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, thank you.
And this morning is a special day for me.
Okay.
Because it's my 67th birthday.
Oh, you want me to sing you a quick happy birthday?
Yeah. What is important? I don't know. I didn't hear the name of your guest.
This is Ronnie Yearwood.
Ronnie Yearwood.
Yes.
All right, let me go on. This brings back memories to me so much. I want to say that things happen to me so coincidental. I must be the only person that voted three times, three by elections.
You're from St. John?
I born in St. Joseph.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's strange that the first time I voted in St. Joseph was in 1970 in a by-election.
Okay.
And that by-election came about when the late Sir Grantley Adams, after coming back from Federation, he re-entered politics and then he resigned in 1970. The second by-election was at the death of his son. After he died, had to vote in another by-election. So you see how strange things are?
That's right.
The father and son. Many people would never have that opportunity. Now, this month is very important for me. As I always say, I came from close to Andrew's factory, and this is the time that most of the sugar factories this month would have been going into operation.
Yes.
Because of the reaping time, February. I'm a sad man this morning, knowing that Andrew's factory, after promised operations, will be carried out by 2016 or 17 or so like that. Andrew's factory is still up there, idle. And it is heartbreaking to see how people could destroy a country. That factory was so symbolic in many ways. But politicians do things their way. Now, I want to ask a legal question. And before going into this, yesterday we had...
I can hear your radio very clearly. It is heartbreaking.
Yeah, I'm from it now. Yesterday we had some members of the NUPW. In order to represent workers, you have to have a knowledge of the labor laws, right or wrong. You following me, Miss?
I'm hearing you. You asked if you have to. You asked a question. No. Repeat it, please.
Yeah, I want to know, if you are a trade unionist, you must be all fair with the labor laws if you want to represent workers, right or wrong.
It would be an advantage to have
competence. It's an advantage, because you don't want a lawyer to go court with you on a criminal matter, and he is not well fair with criminal matters, because you will know before you start, you lost. Now, yesterday, I made a contribution pertaining to what the Prime Minister said, that people who work for 3 years would be giving them the opportunity, he would be appointing them. Now, I raised the matter, and it was played down and said that was only between 74 and 77. But you know, I had to call my trade unionists Unity Workers Union, President Franklin, and he's prepared to write the article on this labor law. And he said that since then, up to 2010, any worker that worked continuously for 1 year, the law is that they should be appointed. So if somebody can be appointed in 1 year, it means they were that the Prime Minister is denying those workers that he said he can give them 3 years. That's one point I was dealing with. What do you think about that?
I have only heard it 3 years. This 1 year is pretty interesting to me because I remember under the Oenatha administration in 2007 when there was a change to the public service rules, there was that, what you call sweetener for public servants. And there was it was 3 consecutive years.
Yeah.
You would be appointed.
Caswell said he's going to write an article on it and he can tell you which law and which act it is. Anyhow.
Okay.
Good. Let me go on a little further. I am concerned that here comes the 6th of March. Parliament would be finished. That term of the 5-year term will come to an end.
The dissolution.
The dissolution of Parliament. Mm-hmm. That's why I say this is a constitutional matter. Why this country, this is history, you know. There is no other Prime Minister in this country that sat in Parliament for the dissolution. It is like, if you call it...
Well, he's not sitting in Parliament. You mean if there was a...
At present, that can sit in Parliament until the dissolution. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
No, the dissolution would be 6th of March. And if you continue 90 days after, you were actually running a government without laws because Parliament is the lawmaker.
But isn't there
right
a grace period?
Right or wrong. Parliament is the legislator, the governing body.
But isn't the 90-day period part of the, arrangement?
If you have a 90-day period, this is what I'm talking about, looking at the Constitution. A 90-day period does not give you the powers to be overseen by Parliament. Our Parliament will be dissolved. So you'll be running a Parliament without being...
But Parliament isn't going to be meeting, though.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You're not running Parliament. You came to the country to ask you to go to Parliament, right or wrong, to be a legislator.
Mm-hmm.
And after the 6th of March... Why you should be holding office? Why you should allow that to happen? This is something, when we talk about Constitution, we have accepted some things in this country without looking at it in the true way it should be looked at. Because after the 6th of March, Parliament has no more powers, but yet politicians will have powers to do as they like.
I have one thing for you before we come back to that. And it says, I'm reading it as it is, he knows very well Andrews Construction is halted due to court action by a resident. Do you know that, sir?
Listen, there's a lot of things. Look,
do you know that, sir? Do you know that?
I know that.
So why would you not share
that
pertinent information with the public?
I ask a question every since.
All right, back to Parliament. Back to Parliament now. I'm just responding to you based on
WhatsApp. Let me go ahead. Let us deal with this matter.
Yes.
Why should we allow politicians to continue to manage this country without overseen by Parliament?
Let me put a question to you. Okay. So you asked, why should we allow politicians to continue to be overseen by Parliament? Okay, let me answer the question, why did you allow politicians overseen by Parliament to do what they have done for the last 5 years or 15 or 20? So what makes this 90-day period so special now that all of a sudden you have a problem of being overseen by politicians?
Because he said that, I remember him from last week. He said, do you want me to repeat you?
Yeah.
He said that he doesn't want persons to be loitering.
So
I
in the last.
Him. So he has a specific, clear mandate.
He doesn't want persons to be loitering. So when they are not loitering, but they are implementing policies that are...
Let me finish.
They're implementing policies that are grievous to this nation. They've just amended the Police Act. You're not complaining about the Police Act.
Can I finish?
You're not complaining about the Police Act. You're not complaining about the sale of the national oil terminal. You're not complaining about the lack of communication on half of this government. Can I finish, sir? You're not complaining about report after report. Not only this government, previous governments that talk about mismanagement, but somehow, all of a sudden,
90 days
got you hot up. But all the other issues. Let me finish. So all the other issues of mismanagement and gross mismanagement and political incompetence generally in this country, and you're focused on the 90 days. My thing is, the 90 days is neither here nor there because of all the other pertinent and pressing issues. And you know what gets me about people calling constantly, call the election, Prime Minister, call the election. You know, the election will be called. What we need to be focusing on is what will happen during the election and after the election to rebuild Barbados.
And who has the policies that are going to take Barbados forward?
Exactly. Let's get what it is, you know, this schoolboy politics about calling elections here and there. Let me ask you a question now. What do you want to see for Barbados? Put aside the 90 days, put aside this. What would be your number one policy prescription to take this country forward? That's what I want to know.
The change of management.
No. Beyond the change of management, you can get.
We can't go further unless of proper management.
You can have the change of management. What? No. Sir. Change of management. What specific policy prescription?
I told you the change of management.
Well, okay, sir. We got change of management. Box ticked. What is your policy prescription now to take the country forward? Management change.
I can start dealing with finance.
No, I just want one. We just want one.
I want the parliamentary salaries removed from the civil service salaries. You know, although that's politics at the civil servants and UPW talking about increase in salaries for the civil servant, whenever they get an increase, the parties are going to get one.
But sir, yes, that's an issue. But we're talking about transformation issues for this country, right? Give me something in education. Give me something in the economy. What industry do you want? I want something big, sir. I don't want, as I said, put aside the schoolyard politics. Let me roll big, sir.
You're just in the schoolyard politics. You want to talk about schools? I want to see the end of taking a child from St. Joseph who is eligible for Grantley Adams, the same marks that is eligible in St. Lucie, and taking that child from St. Joseph and sending them all in St. Lucie. That does not make any sense.
No, we are the ball.
Transportation problem.
Sir, that is
a
point.
No,
we've got there. That is a point. And that's a debate that we can have. And I agree with you. We need to look at educational reform.
But that's where you talk about management.
Good.
Thank you so much.
I like that, Ronnie. Ronnie's feisty. Yes. Let's hear the next caller. This is Dr. Brandstacks. You're on the air.
Let me say a good morning to you and your guest.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
I have time to elaborate on what I call about, but I think what the caller is telling you has a point. When Parliament is dissolved, obvious that you're going to have what is known as a caretaking government, which is the cabinet of Barbados. Now, if you look at today's paper, you would have seen that they have already started to discuss the estimates. Obviously, they will vote for the estimates sometime after.
After the debate.
After the debate.
After Monday, right, okay.
Because of the majority in Parliament, it's obvious that the estimates will be carried.
Yes.
This will not stop the various ministries who will be the caretaking government to be able to spend some advance money in their various departments as far as the money allocated is concerned. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I understand it fully that it will be approved. There's nothing to stop the caretaking government from allowing contract that was put on hold to be authorized. So okay. The caller is within his rights when he's concerned about the 90-day grace, and your guest in the street is also right. I believe that matters that went before the chamber that has been approved cannot be challenged in that 90 days, but matters that did not go before the chamber to be voted.
Cannot now be brought up. You're right.
Now be brought up. So I think I made that clear as far as that is concerned. Now, to both of you, I want to take this time out. I the questions I'm going to ask, is obvious you may not be able, I said may, you may not be able to answer them. I would like the respective people who might be listening, might be the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Sports, the Minister responsible for Urban, whoever these people are, I want them to reply. They may not be able to reply on the program, but they may be able to make in a press release as far as their various ministries are concerned. I want to compliment the chairman, the Speaker of the House yesterday. He paid a visit, day before he paid a visit to an incident in his constituency. And I also want to compliment the parliamentary, the person who is about to represent or make an intention. I want to compliment both of them.
Which constituency, sir?
Of St. Michael West.
Okay.
I want to say to the family of the young lady who fell in the well that I extend my sympathy to them and I wish her better.
Okay.
I am concerned that the issue I saw last night on television does not relate to the seriousness of this matter. And I stay at this point because I think the truth will come out at a later date. Because you cannot politicize a situation like this. I believe that somewhere along the line, the CEO of Urban did not even extend their sympathy statement to the young lady, her child, and her husband. He did not, and I question why it became a political content. Now, these are the questions I'm asking. The question I'm asking, as far as Urban is concerned, it said that Urban has no money. It is said that. It is a known fact that Urban has no money. He said last night that as far as Urban is concerned, that the houses are owned by Urban. I know that the Penitentiary Act allows the person who is living on that land for X amount of times to have a replacement if they're living in squalor. I also know that Urban is in no position to lend money for the construction of those houses. Any lending of money has to come from National Housing Corporation. So I want to ask the CEO, has that method been changed? So how these people don't... So the standard of the condition of the house that has been replaced, the land that the person owns, you're now telling me that the person don't own the house because as far as you're concerned, that Urban owns the house. If Urban owned the house, what happened in terms of the loans that the National Housing Corporation provides? What happened? So the first question, would he please come and clarify that for us, who have been former parliamentarians and who know very well that Urban is not in the position of lending any money for repairs to house. They're in the position of lending money for entrepreneurs. They're in the position of at least assisting, but not. And I'm serious about that. Thirdly, I want to know, as far as Urban is concerned, have no money, but I want to know what is the position in terms of a board member? What is its purpose of going overseas? Has he gone overseas on personal business, or has he gone overseas on the issue of Urban? I also want to know, as far as Kensington Company is concerned, since they have no money and they're in serious debt, if this same board member is not overseas now in Los Angeles, and if he's overseas on the business of, or he's overseas on personal business, and if he's overseas in the interest of the boards, I believe we are entitled to know the purpose of his visits. I do not want them to say of his personal reason. He might be overseas sick. He might be overseas attending to some other matter. But since he's overseas and he is a member on both boards, the question I'm asking, will the CEO of Urban, who is so open, come and tell us the reason why this person is likely to be next week? going overseas. I think it's Miami or one of those places. I also want to know the board chairman of Kensington Oval, if he can come and talk to his minister, to his personal response, tell us the reason if it's overseas on government business. Now, these are serious things, both ladies and gentlemen there. These are serious things. And I'm speaking on behalf of all the taxpayers of Barbados and almost everything that I've raised on this rate. I want to thank Starcom for allowing me over the last couple of years for raising issues that have now been brought to light that people said they should not have been. And these issues are now in the public domain. The issues are issues that concern us all. Hayat, right? The person, the transformation of Bay Street for what it is, the position as far as them, because there's so many things. And another question I want to ask, and this is to the Minister of Tourism. It is said that this country benefits from tourism. Perhaps the minister could tell us why the taxi drivers who take people for Bridgetown, if rain falling, got to drop them out at the rain in the port. If when they were renovating the port gate, if they could not have made some sort of foyer, some sort of corridor, so that when these tourists get out of the vehicles, they would not be in the rain. But several tourists, as far as I know, taken from Bridgetown to the port, are given instructions to onward here. If the rain is falling, then those persons have to get out in the rain. This is not fair. Tourism is our priority. Tourism brings in money. You cannot treat the tourists that way because you want to deal with the behavior of some taxi drivers. You cannot.
So you have a number of issues here, some for the Urban Development Commission and one for the Minister of Tourism. You have any more issues?
Yes, I have one issue. I have one, and I appreciate your listening to me. And as I said, you don't have the answers, and I hope the various people will come and give the answers to the statements that I have just made. Either that I'm telling lies, or either that somewhere along that there's some reason for the questions that I've asked. And the final question that I'm asking, how it is that in this little country of ours, Barbados, that we can have four advisories concerning the state of this country as far as position is concerned. And we have not been able to receive a solid statement to give us some confidence that it will be altered from the senior person in this country, the Prime Minister. I believe that since other countries have seen us in the light that they've seen us, that we need to be defended. And we need to be defended not by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, not by the Minister of Tourism. We need to be defended by the Prime Minister of this country. He has to make a statement.
Thank you very much, sir. This is Dr. Brastas. This is Dr. Brastas. We are here talking a little bit about potential elections, what it would look like, expectations, etc. And I was thinking about this for the last few months. Yeah. And I wonder, from a strategy perspective, if it wouldn't be wise for the United Progressive Party and Solutions Barbados to form a coalition, particularly a coming together and give some more strength as a third party. Because at this point, there's a lot of discussion about the fragmentation of the parties, not being able to carry a whole 30 seats to parliament, etc. And how strong are they as a contending body? What are your thoughts, Mr. Ronnie Yearwood? Sorry to put that one on you like that.
That's an interesting question. Firstly, I've been looking at the policies and the makeup of the UPP and Solutions, and you know I've been following them like most Barbadians, and you know there would be some merit for them to join together. I am sure that there's policy overlap. It just would be a matter of personnel, but and you know people are hankering for change, but you know this is just my perspective from analyzing the leadership of UPP and Solutions, and I do not believe fundamentally that they offer the change that Barbados needs. I know we need change, but I personally have no competence, do not think that the leader of either of the parties would make the competent or be that competent leadership Barbados needs right now. And that's just my position. I know some people have different positions, but you asked my view, and I made that view known. But from a strategic point of view, it would make sense for them to come together. And it would be a matter of deciding what the leadership makeup of the UPP and solutions would be after that. But mm-hmm. at the same point, I don't think even if they did come together, that they would represent the competence and the dynamics that are needed for, and the heavy lifting after this election that will be needed to take Barbados where it needs to go. That said, mm-hmm. The other position, does either of the mainstream parties offer that as well? And you know, there's some debate in many circles as to whether we've got enough on both, and whether there's enough new and fresh blood and fresh thinking in politics. And there's still debate about how do we get that fresh thinking and that new blood within the political system. But I guess we'll go to the lines, and we'll probably have some interesting persons. But to add to this debate.
So from from a strategy perspective, yes. But you're looking then at the content, not content, but the complexion mm-hmm. of the leadership mm-hmm. in both parties. You're not saying that they have the wherewithal.
No, I don't think they have the wherewithal. I don't think they have the ability to do what is necessary and to have the heavy lifting. I think their hearts are in the right place, mm-hmm. but you can have your heart in the right place, but that doesn't mean that you have the capabilities and that you have surrounded yourselves with persons of the capability to do what is necessary. The task to rebuild Barbados after the election will not be an easy one. This is one of the most difficult times that Barbados faces.
But I want to challenge mm-hmm. you there. Mm-hmm. If you're saying that the UPP and the Solutions Barbados don't have it, mm-hmm. the revived, and I assume that the Democratic Labour Party would have to do some revival.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Democratic Labour Party and the New Look Barbados Labour Party. None of these parties, but only one of them, which is the current party, the incumbent, they're mm-hmm. the only party that they're the only administration that have run this country before. Mm-hmm. And to say then that the UPP and the Solutions Barbados don't have it, I think with the same benchmarking that you're using, you would have to say that for the Barbados Labour Party as well, because the Barbados Labour Party in its current form has never run the government before.
I would have to somewhat disagree with you, and it's not about whether they've run the government before, because when if you look at the first Oyinnatha administration, mm-hmm. Arthur at that time, Prime Minister Arthur, had not run the country before, mm-hmm. but it's a matter of looking at he was competent.
Competent in what?
Where you're going. He was a competent and accomplished economist.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it was not a matter of throwing it to the wind to think that he could not
okay,
do the
so
job.
Stop there. The leader of the Barbados Labour Party is a competent. She's not only is she an attorney at law, she's run several ministries
yeah,
in
exactly.
Barbados
mm-hmm.
and has a team behind her.
Yeah.
The leader of the UPP, a competent lawyer as well, has been a former minister of commerce, if I remember correctly. She's mm-hmm. led international business as well and has a couple of things under her belt. I don't know her full team.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, Mr. Granville Phillips from Solutions Barbados, mm-hmm. also a very competent engineer, not only in Barbados, but regionally,
mm-hmm.
and has a number of business persons in his team. Why would you not think that those two persons can bring something to the table in an age when Barbados needs change? I'm just asking these questions.
I think they can't. I'm not saying they can't bring it to the table. Bringing something to the table is different to having a comprehensive vision and idea for what the country should look like. And there are many people who can get into politics, and there are many people who get into politics. But that is different from knowing what you want for the country and how you will shape the country. You could go back to the Oyinnatha administration, when Sandy Fred at that point, when even David Thompson, the last, when he ran, they presented a picture of what Barbados the Barbados can be. Look like. Okay. And that's what sets them apart from the other person.
So I have not seen that picture. Is that running because you're not in Barbados?
No, that's not it. I follow these things. I've looked at the manifesto of UPP. Mm-hmm. Have you read the manifesto?
I've seen it.
I've read it. I've also seen
the Covenant of Hope. I've seen Solutions Barbados. Yes.
And I can tell you, I do not see that complete and that rigor that is necessary mm-hmm. that will tell me you have the ability to lead Barbados. You know, I think we're all as voters in Barbados between rocks and hard places mm-hmm. because as many choices as we supposedly have, we have very few. And at the end of the day, it comes down to looking at the content of the persons that will present themselves to you and asking them the very hard questions about what they will do for Barbados, what they will do for the country, mm-hmm. not what they will do for any particular party.
Or set of people.
And mm-hmm. I challenge voters themselves when they knock on your door mm-hmm. and they come talking about street lights and building roads and weed roading programs, send them away. Mm-hmm. When they come talking about large economic policies, how they're going to stimulate for jobs and employment and create businesses. Now, that's a different debate that you can have.
So I'll tell you, if you look then in the Covenant of Hope, you would see that. If you look at Solutions Barbados, their manifesto, and the varying pieces of documentation that they have put out, you can see that. And if you look at the Solutions Barbados, the UPP manifesto, which I haven't read thoroughly, it has in some of that as well. From a cursory view, I looked at it. Even last night, I had the pleasure of reading through the position from the Solutions Barbados on the proposed amendments to the Police Act.
Yeah.
And I found that it was pretty thorough, and it had in its contents some rigor for which normally a person reading the Police Amendments Act would not have ordinarily seen. And mm-hmm. therefore, I was able to extrapolate some things that helped me to better understand mm-hmm. why the objection from the passing of this new piece of amendment. So I'm telling you that I like the fact that the two parties are bringing positions even before the election bell has been rung.
Yeah, but that position you could say that about the climate pain movement.
Yes.
I can say that, David Commission has been at the forefront of brain positions on many issues.
He has been. Yeah. But he's not doing that with any context to lead the country as a party. Yeah, He's not looking to win a government.
Yeah, but because he has not, because they're not presenting a complete vision, it's different. So when you position yourself as you rightly said, to lead the government, you have mm-hmm. to have the
cover
whole
everything.
Package.
Okay.
You can't, it's fine. I can come out and say that the police bill doesn't work, it's draconian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But does Ronnie Earwood have a party?
The point I'm making, I'm not saying, I hear you, yeah, and exactly. I'm really completing my thought to say that mm-hmm. what I am pleased with is that these persons who are contending leadership of the government are also bringing positions. I'm not saying that it's either complete or not complete, mm-hmm. but I'm saying that they are talking a language, even for example, the cultural policy, talking a language that you want to hear because you don't want to hear about streetlights and roads and those things you want to hear.
But I never challenged that bit of it. But I said they don't have the complete pack that will present them to be the leader.
Let's hear from the phone lines. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Lisa Gale and we have Mr. Ronnie Yearwood in the studio. Are you there? Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Are you with us? I can hear something. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Yes, I can hear you, but your radio is on.
All right, let me move. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Morning, sir.
First thing, I want to disagree with Ronnie.
That's fair. That's a fair point, sir. If everybody agreed with me, well, the world might be a different place, but that can't happen all the time.
I got to do some investigation into you too because we both carry the same last name.
Okay. I would sure it's a good last name. You come from a good stock.
Have you have roots in St. Lucie?
Of course I got roots in St. Lucie. I'm from Boswell.
I born in Crab Hill.
Okay, well, there must
and
be.
And the Yahweh clan.
Okay.
That's your family name.
One,
But you are still free to disagree with him.
Yeah. He's a very bright person. I'm not saying that because he carried his hand last name. I hear people talk about a third party can't make it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I beg to differ. People seem to forget about when he came, he was a third party.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't lead a government. These times that we are going through right now, for me personally, and I guess I speak for a lot of people, one party I've been telling you I'm going to give you black eyes and race, and that's not telling you race and black eyes. And for some reason, they have tried to convince their supporters about that. You will never know what a man can do until he's given that opportunity. The only way you can have experience is to be given an opportunity. Both parties have done well for the people in the past,
mm-hmm.
and both parties have also failed. Right? This situation that we're in now is the worst. I never thought in my 65 years that I would ever see Barbados like this. And what hurts me to the core, a lot of taxes. The small man is always being put at disadvantage. He's always asked to make the sacrifice. Yet, we have the people who should be setting the example, living big, like going back and making noise for the 10% in Parliament. That was not a nice thing to do. I care about people. I don't really care about politicians. I'm the kind of person who gives me my last and suffer. I hate to see people suffer. I personally feel that maybe we're going through this thing. All ministers should have been made to sacrifice their losses, every one of them. Because if you are sending home people who no longer have work, and yet their expectancy of life or they're out of work, you are asking people who have a family to support, maybe the only breadwinner, maybe working for $300 a week. Only God can convince me that these big people cannot survive on their without their allowances. And it's being paid by the same people, because God has really stated. Right? I personally want to see the backs of both major parties. That's the gospel truth. I am sick and fed up of politicians taking people for a ride when it suits them. Right? I can go on and on, but my main thing is our future. I've been talking about our future, talking about our school children and the things that have been exposed to. And it's not only about desire culture, it's a whole combination of factors. I've been talking about this and I'll keep on talking about it, because those deviant school children, if allowed or if they don't change, will grow up to be tomorrow's criminals. We don't want that. We do not want that.
Hmm.
And I think the Ministry of Public Works, Transport Authority, whoever is in charge, have to do something about the music that's being played on these radars and these PSCs. That's one.
Hmm.
I think principals and teachers who allow their students to walk in their schools well after 10 o'clock repeatedly, something need to be done about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people at the Ministry of Education who can let down these other stand and see those children loitering well after school hours, they need to do something about that too. The truant officers who come in the bus time and it suits them, and they're just not see one yet.
Mm.
Right?
We actually still have truant officers?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know what bothers me?
I did not know we still had those.
Yeah.
They had one man.
Mm-hmm.
One man. The school children nicknamed him Matlock. I don't know his real name.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe when you watch Matlock, the picture, you used to know who committed the crime in a hurry. This one man used to got the water bridge done clear. One man, one individual, he's no retired. I think they need to go to him. I think we need to set up some kind of boot camp. Mm-hmm. All the troublemakers in schools, put them in this one camp. With the best teachers, you're not going to give them teachers that for want of a better word, don't have the ability and get the best, or some of the best. But the toughest teachers, something need to be done. I sit on a bus at Pickett School children every evening. I hear and see the behavior of those children. It's a passenger bus. And what bothers me even more than all the things that I just mentioned, when a senior magistrate, and I'm going to call his name because I'm not saying anything negative, Mr. Bannister, could have asked for tougher legislation and metal detectors at schools to deal with the situation, and the Minister of Education or the Minister of Education can say no way, not on his watch. I want Mr. Jones to know that when he made these kind of remarks, it's not only the good school children that hear him, it's all also the deviant ones. And children are not idiots. They were translated. That was the Minister of Education is supporting us.
This is good. Go ahead, Ronnie. Dr. Ronnie Yearwood. In an earlier comment, I called you Ronnie Yearwood, and I should give you your true title. You are Dr. Ronnie Yearwood.
Thank you, sir.
I am doctor too.
Yes, Dr. Yearwood.
A doctor booby.
sir, let me. I just want to ask you. I want to engage with you something really quickly. You said that you are sick and tired of the politicians, right? And you said that you want change and you know, you're probably in a position where every Barbadian is in. What are you going to do about it? How will you support that change? Because, you know, I talked to a lot of my friends, I talked to a lot of people, they said they want change, and I asked them, who are you voting for? And they're going to tell me one of the major parties.
I'm not voting for any of them. And let me say this, right?
So you're not voting for any party? You're not voting at all?
No, not for any of these two major parties.
Okay.
He said he's sick and tired of the ex.
I want to say something
before.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
I used to support the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
During all of those years I supported them, I voted for them once. Those still supported them here.
Mm-hmm.
I voted for Amania Ishmael Roy. You know I voted for him? And I think all politicians or people who are aspiring to be politicians. I'm not saying he's perfect. Never is perfect.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I saw a man who, when you as a parent or a guardian or whatever, your child finished school and you can further that child's education, that gentleman did it at what level.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How could I go against a man like that because of something called party loyalty?
Mm-hmm.
No way. And I can tell you something, if he was running again, I would do it all over again. And I don't care who call me traitor. I just don't care.
Mm.
If you're a member of a party that I support and you're doing good, I will stand by you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a member of the party that I support and you're doing wrong, I will criticize you. And they come in this world from the boy to like me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if 10 men were drawing and you save 9, somebody can still cast it because they share the 10. I have learned a lot in my 65 years on this earth, and I still have to learn a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, sir. You've made some good contributions. There was something I wanted to make a comment on earlier. And we'll get back to the whole debate on the third party and the merging. Because remember, we're talking about the strategy here. But should the UPP as Solutions Barbados join forces in an attempt to strengthen its competence base, because I'm hearing something coming from Ronnie here to speak to whether he's dealing with leadership or governance and, you know, the varying issues or the completeness of what the party brings or what each party brings to the table. But two things that I really wanted to zoom in on today at some point was feedback from those persons from the Bridgetown sewage plant who are at this point expressing their disappointment with another adjournment in the High Court for their matter, which is outstanding. They said they have moved, most of them have moved from their place of abode, some of whom have owned homes and have been re-domiciled, for lack of a better word, to it's called Barbary's Hill. And essentially what the message came out to me as was no money, no vote. And yes, those persons are disappointed with the long time for which it has taken for their case to be heard. But I wanted to just extrapolate, not necessarily using them per se, but extrapolate that whole notion of if you don't do what I want, you're not getting my vote. That type of, I think that also then magnifies into what we're seeing now with whether people buy votes because they get something from a politician, etc. That's one issue. And then second to that, the vexing issue that troubles me a lot. The last caller talked about it in relation to our youth and, you know, those teachers who do a little bit more and, you know, what type of, not necessarily extra compensation, but how can we continue to nurture those teachers that do more, those teachers that express more love, that see the diamond in the rough and see past the child's disrespect or the child's troubled past or child's not having, you know, the child not having breakfast and come to school and is in a foul mood. And because the child disrespects them, the teacher puts them aside and doesn't deal with them. You know, there are some teachers who see past that and then express a certain level of love to the child so that the child then starts to come out of his or her shell and do a little more learning or reading or whatever. So those are just 2 points I want to zoom in on. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Ronnie, you wanted to respond?
Yeah, I wanted to follow up very quickly on the last point you made about the persons and they're not voting if the sewage, it was the Bridgetown sewage issue. Yeah,
and No money, no vote.
No money, no vote. You know, and I think you're right there. We have to be careful of how we're trying to connect votes to issues being done in the community, and in a strange way that's almost tantamount or very similar to the concept of vote buying. You know,
but I that's get historical something. Though. That is a normal behavior,
and that needs to change. And that will only change when we demand that change from our politicians, and when the politicians who come to us come doing something differently to think that, you know, your vote can be bought. Like, and I think we need to move beyond that because that not only affects the ability to actually articulate proper policies for the benefit of the entire country, because you realize, you know, when you're elected, yes, you're elected to your constituency, you have to take care of your constituents, but you're elected to run the country. You're elected to make sure that all Barbadians can live out their life in a good society. You're elected to ensure that all Barbadians, irrespective of color and class or, you know, whatever, they can be part of our society. They can benefit from our country and they can be given opportunities to make contributions and to be economically viable citizens.
I'm going to just read one. Thank you for that. I have one WhatsApp here. Mm-hmm. Person says many things, but this last piece, it says I'm voting DLP, which is Democratic. So the rebuilding of Barbados and loss of the practice of mendicancy can be sustained. Also, I love how vocal Barbadians are now because this augurs well for us. And I think we can credit the PM with forcing Bajans to reflect rather than exist in a false vision of grandiosity and comfort. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We will go to the OCM at this point.